top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
Caleb Colton no longer belongs to our world.
We'll give him a week to see if we can call him one of us.
He belongs to hers.
But you have to learn to kill.
He belongs to theirs.
I don't want to kill.
He makes a kill tonight.
And they all belong to the night.
It's 3 hours short for a bus ticket home. You help me out?
What are you on?
Believe me, I told you.
Don't think of it as killing.
Evening.
Woo! Don't think at all. It's just something that you do night after night. It's only ever a question of how.
You nervous? I would be too if I were you.
Near Dark.
It'll be your boys falling in with control.
Check out time.
Some time, son.
Like, damn, this is my family. Let him go.
Near Dark. Pray for daylight. The night has its price.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 410 of the Really Awful Movies Podcast, Near Dark. Now, Fright Night and Lost Boys grabbed a lot of attention as vampire movies toward the mid to late 80s, but in my estimation, it's the more underseen cult film Near Dark that is, I think, arguably best of the bunch. And that's not a slight against those other two films. Obviously, Fright Night, hell, the poster art alone is so iconic and so memorable and among the very best, at least in the top 10, I think, ever created. But Near Dark, I think, succeeded by doing something a little different with the genre, a bit in the same way that Bone Tomahawk married Western sensibilities with horror. Similarly, Catherine Bigelow and her vision for Near Dark takes like a Dust Bowl, John Steinbeck, Oklahoma, quasi-Western approach to the genre and breathes life into the space, and I think does so quite effectively. I mean, there's all different types of vampire movies and subgenres. I think there's a more like effete, swashbuckling vampire, as you see in the time-traveling interview with a vampire, and the kind of rich, over-the-top, kind of debonair vampire that you see in Bram Stoker's Dracula. And then there's been other films more recently that have explored the seedier side of the undead lifestyle, like Only Lovers Left Alive. Like, it really is a canvas on which you can paint a lot of different colors. Let the Right One In takes things to a different realm entirely, because you're not necessarily accustomed to very low temperatures and kids involved as antagonists. And of course, I mean, my favorite vampire way of telling the vampire mystique in mythology is the Van Helsing style of Hammer style of the 70s, and that kind of way of blending the mythology with these kind of the gothic approach and sensibilities and cinematography. I think that is the most successful, in my estimation, even perhaps more so than the suave, sophisticated Bela Lugosi. I'm more inclined to have to be able to marry the upper class sophisticate with the monster. I think that's an approach that I think is really effective with via the likes of the iconic Christopher Lee performances. But I mean, I'm on board with all different types. I think True Blood was kind of effective, and that I think took a different approach by setting the legend and setting the myth and setting the character in New Orleans, which is a crazy place to begin with, and seems like if there were vampires, extant vampires, that is a place they would gravitate to. I mean, it's pretty wild, and Louisiana seems like a place that would kind of Lestat from Interview with the Vampire, obviously, French sensibilities that inform the history of the Big Easy. So I think that's very effective. Now, Near Dark is a film that arguably shouldn't work at all because it is so narratively simple. It almost follows the structure of like a Bonnie and Clyde or something. It's just criminals on the lam, and that's the extent of it. There's very, very little going on, and yet at the same time, it manages to be unbelievably compelling. Catherine Bigelow's an interesting figure as the director. I mean, she's a real trailblazer, and Point Break, obviously, and The Hurt Locker have put her on the map, among other films, but she just saw her own vision of this one, and I think what you get is some really tremendous visuals. I mean, particularly when Caleb, the lead character, he's bitten and he's basically staggering his way through this Oklahoma plain, and there's just dust on either side, and it has this Western landscape that would not be out of place in some of the John Ford films. It's unbelievably vast and unbelievably strangely, sinisterly beautiful. I mean, I've never been to Oklahoma, but it's very unique landscape, that's for sure, and also part of Texas too, and part of so-called Tornado Alley. And I think it really works in this film's favor, in addition to just the unbelievable cast. I mean, you have, I really should get to the plot, which couldn't be more simple, where you have a guy bitten and transformed into a vampire, obviously against his will. And he's like a cowhand, a cowpoke, almost like Yellowstone, that Kevin Costner vehicle that's out now that's very popular. But he's this farmhand who gets bitten and gets conscripted into this little army of demons and vampires who basically live out of a van using tinfoil to block out the sun. And it's so weird. Like, I came to this film via, of all things, some random reel. It might have been like a YouTube reel or something that featured comedian Theo Vaughn, well, speaking of Louisiana, Theo Vaughn and Joe Rogan just talking about what you would do if you had unlimited time absent sleep. And I think Rogan made some offhand remark about query of Vaughn as to whether he would take a pill that would alleviate the necessity to sleep. And then Vaughn made some joke about whether he would cheat on his spouse or something because he would have 8 extra hours in the day in which to fill up, which would be obviously very, very challenging. And similarly, in the vampire space, you have immortals and the undead. And to the extent that that's initially appealing, it would soon, I would say, give or take a couple hundred years, become very rote and very boring and very pedestrian and very middle of the road. And you would almost have to keep one-upping yourself in terms of thrill-seeking to really get anything out of life. It's like almost laying waste to your dopamine receptors and habituating to drugs. I mean, this is a group of people in this gang in Near Dark They just really live by the seat of their pants, and they have nowhere to lay their head that offers any permanence. And, you know, I liken this to some of the heist films, either the train robber or bank heist films that came out in the 50s or 60s, where essentially what they do is commit crimes and go on the lam. And that's the extent of Near Dark, unbelievably, but also the fact that there's a love story between Caleb and May, and May is one of the, more newly created vampires, and this is a group that's headed unbelievably by Lance Henriksen, obviously from Pumpkinhead and Alien and Stone Cold, that excellent Brian Bosworth film, excellent, tongue-in-cheek. But this is a film populated with characters from Alien and Aliens and references to it on a marquee billboard. This is just infused with Alien-type references, and I'm not sure why that is, other than maybe tangentially the fact that Catherine Bigelow was actually married to James Cameron at one point, but I'm not entirely sure why that has any bearing on things, but it does speak to the insider-outsider dynamics and the just a different realm that these immortals inhabit from mere men. And it's terrifically done, and really the head, the patriarch of this family is what drives it, and that's Jesse Hooker and Lance Henriksen. I believe this might be his best performance. And he's just so menacing and steely and just grand infuses the role with so much gravitas and coolness, frankly. And I read, actually, prior to discussing this podcast, that Michael Biehn from The Terminator was considered for this role, but then he considered the script too complicated, which I find beggars belief, because this is such a straightforward narrative of just basically vampires killing people on the lam and then just getting chased by local podunk cops and then going into, you know, darkening the doors of these shit kicker type saloons and these off the beaten path type, you know, accommodations. Basically they live from day to day and have no, I mean, why would you plan for the future, because the future is limitless. So there's no sense even doing that, because there's no contingencies you have to prepare for, particularly if you're immortal. So it's just they're living out of a van, living from, you know, Fleabag motel suite to Fleabag motel room, and just doing their own thing. It's just such a simple, effective, and gorgeous and stunningly shot film. I mean, there's just these incredible vignettes. I mean, the shit kicker saloon scene is wonderfully iconic, and that's where the Caleb character, who has been reticent about killing for himself and feeding himself, and he's getting others to do so, and on his behalf, like offering him their wrists, and this is something you see that was a common conceit in True Blood. And if you haven't seen that series, it's an updating on the vampire legend, in which vampires have this synthetic blood, and they've gone straight in a way, so they've been mainstreamed. And this product has enabled them to live among us, albeit as outsiders, with still the fringe element of them supporting the black market of blood. And it's an obvious analog to harder drugs and drug abuse. So it's very, I mean, for the first couple seasons of True Blood, I think that was a very effective reimagining of this ancient legend. It was very cool. And as is Near Dark, this is very, very... if you can get on board with these characters, which I think everyone will, I mean, Bill Paxton is just fantastic as the lead psychopath, as Severin. But they've also got a kid among their ranks named Homer, who looks like a teenager, but behaves like a sadistic adult and wields firearms with the best of them. Again, alluding to this, the undertones of this Western, with this crew, this motley crew, this troop's ability to gunsling with the best of them, as well they need to, because they're constantly being chased by law enforcement. It's really well done. Bill Paxton as Severin kind of steals the show as this sadist who takes Caleb under his wing and tries to show him the ropes and get him to get his sea legs as he's a newly converted vampire. And there's the scene again in this bar, which is so amazing, where the bartender has a shotgun behind the bar. It looks like one of these places where fights would just break out every night of the week, where you just go there and there's going to be, again, a shit-kicker saloon. They even allude to it literally as such, where if you look at someone askance, look at someone's girlfriend the wrong way, there's going to be trouble. Someone will get clocked with a chair over the head. But this is just so well done, so dark, so sinister. And you have someone almost nonchalantly, obliviously shooting pool while all this carnage is taking place, almost innocently in the background. And there's stuff that's played for yucks that Kathryn Bigelow actually does quite effectively, where, you know, there's a reference to KFC's infamous slogan, finger licking good, which they ditched infamously during COVID, where because there's all this paranoia about transmission through through skin contact, and that's it was pretty funny. But the brand had fun with that, and this movie has fun with that. There's lots of kind of quirky, fun, unique, and comedic moments that really I think lends itself to a superior finished product. I really, really dig Near Dark. It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I think the Lost Boys is something that I would have visited multiple times, but that's not saying that Near Dark can't compete with what are some of the very best ones in the whole genre. In my estimation, I think Werner Herzog's Nosferatu it has to be in the top three, and I think, well, the initial Max Schreck Nosferatu as well, it's really what got the ball rolling. And it's funny how this is a monster who was very, very sinister at the outset, and then has gone through so many iterations from being upper crust and debonair, and then down on their luck and out of sorts. And this is something that can be, it's a canvas not unlike the zombie film, where you can use this creature and for any metaphorical devices or purposes you like. And only Lovers Left Alive, I mean, even transplanting that one to Detroit of all things, I think is kind of entertaining and interesting. And having someone be a strung out musician is kind of neat too. So you can really, it's almost limitless is the type of characters you can conjure up with this. And it makes me almost want to examine the genre further, although it's not among my favorites, to be honest, although I think there are some very, very notable standouts that stand up as some of the very best horror films of all time. So we're going to keep this podcast short here, but what I've learned, I mean, many things. It's the cast of characters is so important, the rich relationships between Caleb, the newly turned vampire, and the deep connections with his salt of the earth farming family that can't be broken and can't be bent to the whims of Hooker and his nasty ilk. I think that's something, the bond that's forged both between him and his new family, if you want to call it that, but also his traditional family, is something that's actually quite touching. And I think Near Dark has the characters in whom you can invest to make it more than just a bunch of bloodletting and neck bites and that kind of thing. So for me, a 4 out of 5 for this one, just a solid stand-up, incredible effort, and one of the better vampire films, I think, in the genre. And take care. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.